And so some of them said, well, I'm trying to get skills. I'm trying to grow in skills. Another Talmud said that I'm learning how to think the way Chazal thought. I'd like to suggest tonight, in the beginning of the Zman, that one of the most important parts of Gemara is one of the most central parts of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and directly related to the Avodah of El. I want to share with you an idea, an amazing idea, that I learned from the Torah of the Nazi, of Rabbi David Cohen. Rabbi David Cohen was one of the close Talmidim of Rabbi Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. And the Nazir made a tremendous observation. The Nazir pointed out that when it comes to the description of Torah, there's one theme of both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh that constantly repeats itself that many Jews did not realize is a flashpoint between the approach of Yadus, Judaism, and the approach of secular cultures. When we were learning Gemara this week, I asked one of my Talmidim, one of my second-year Talmidim, give me the best translation that you can have of the word mashma. Gemara says, mashma, we infer from what it says in the Mishnah, such and such. And he said, a highly intelligent definition from the perspective of Western language. And that is, he said, mashma means to imply. It's a good definition, right? To imply. But of course, that's not the literal meaning of mashma. The literal meaning of mashma means I heard. I heard from my rabbeim. From what you are saying, I could infer by what I'm hearing from you. What's the most important expression of emunah, points out the Nazir, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How would the description of Gemara describe their Amorayim? It's what was said by our Rabbeim. Now that seems obvious. Right? Wrong. Because if you notice, Greek philosophy emphasizes something very different. It emphasizes, I know I'm about to say something controversial, hashkafa. I'll explain. It emphasizes what you could see, what you could feel, and what you could touch. What you could understand with empirical study, what you could infer, what you could imply, there's logical rules, and those are its conclusions. Torah Shebaal Peh is not about the study of logic. It's not about implication, but rather it's something different. A Talmud is a kli. A Talmud is a utensil. He's a utensil that is mekabel from his Rebbe. We hear from our Rabbeim. The emphasis is not what we see in the Gemara. It's what we hear. And then what we hear becomes part of us. You know, when I was a young Talmud, even younger than some of the Talmudim that are sitting here, I remember my Rabbeim pointed out something that's very, very powerful. And my Rabbein pointed out that when it comes to Greek philosophy, when it comes to philosophy, there's a trap that philosophers sometimes fell into. The way they say it over in the yeshivas, that Aristotle was once acting inappropriately, wasn't consistent with his own ideology and his own philosophy. And the students asked him, but that's not what you taught in college class. To which Aristotle responded, and Euclid is a triangle? So I always thought that was the difference between Torah and secular philosophy. The Torah inspires you to act and be consistent with what you learn. And when it comes to secular philosophy doesn't. As I was thinking about the Nazir's words, I realized, who contrasts with Greek philosophy, and the Nazir knew, he studied before he met Rav Kook, he was studying philosophy in Switzerland, he knew philosophy well. I realize it's not only that. It's actually about the methodology that we're just describing of shmia versus what you infer from re'ia. If what we hear is what we become, and then the Rebbe passes on to the Talmud, and eventually the Talmud becomes the Rebbe. In other words, the Talmud becomes that which he heard, and eventually he becomes the one who's going to pass over to the next generation, then of course, what he learns has to become him. In contrast to an implication, a logical inference, so then there are the rules, the ideas, and they sit out there. Those are ideas, but they don't become part of me. In fact, we're suggesting, and the Nazir seem to have gone this far, the word hashkafa is not a good way to describe machshavas Yisrael. We don't use the word hashkafa. You know who uses the phenomenon of seeing a vision? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that power. What we know is what's passed down midar ledar mimayshe Rabbeinu. Hence, when we learn mashma is not the Western implication, but mashma means I seem to have heard from my Rabbein. Now, of course, you need great Rabbein for it. The Gemara describes, based on the Pasuk Melachah in Perek Beis, the Gemara describes, Kisif Sei Koyin Yishmeru Das, the Pasuk concludes, Ki Malach Hashem Tzevakosu, that in order for us to be real receptacles through listening to Rabbein, the Rabbein have to be Rabbein Muar Bal Madrega, that they themselves represent that utensil that accepted from their Rabbein. Reminds me, they say a story that there was a kid who was acting out in class, and the Rebbe called up the parent, and he said to the parents, you know, I think your kid needs to see someone about a behavioral issue. And he suggested they speak to a psychologist. So the psychologist said, you know what, I have an idea. When the kid acts out, we'll give him Ritalin. So he spoke out, the parents and the Rebbe spoke. They didn't want the other kids in the class to know about it, so they made up that when the Rebbe felt he was acting rowdy in the classroom, he would tell him to make him a coffee, and the parents told him, and then you should take the pill. That's exactly what happens the next day. The kid acts out, the Rebbe asks to make him a coffee, the kid goes, makes a coffee, takes the pills from his pocket. Fine, for 2 weeks it works like a charm. Some days he needs it, sometimes he doesn't. The days he needs it, he goes out, makes the Rebbe a coffee, and the Rebbe says, wow, I've seen such a change. He calls up the parents and he says, the kid is a totally different kid. So the parents call the kid into the living room and say, wow, it's amazing. You know, isn't it great that the pill, what a change it's made for you in the classroom? So the kid says, what do you mean? He said, well, don't you go out, the Rebbe a coffee? He said, yeah, I go out. I make the Rebbe a coffee and I put the pill inside the coffee. Sometimes it's the Rebbe that's the problem. It's not the kid. Kisif Sei Koyin Yishmeru Das. But if it works well, there is a kli that's being mekabel through Shmiya. And in fact, it's not only this listening part, is not only central to Avodas Hashem. Our own intuition, I think, in speaking to high schoolers, they themselves use a very important expression. You know, sometimes when we were in high school, there were people that understood us and some people that didn't. What do you say on the street? What's the expression that you use for someone who understands what's on your heart when you speak to them? You know the expression I think that's used? He gets me. He gets me. The tafkid of Shmiya from Rebbe to Talmud is for the Rebbe to pass over what's inside of him and the Talmud gets him. And we ourselves use that colloquially as someone who understands us, as someone who gets me. Rav Shach was described by the Brisker Rav as being an individual that he thought could continue his legacy because he said he gets me. He wasn't necessarily the smartest Talmud, wasn't the best, but he was someone who understood the Rebbe. And you understand if you work hard through a Madrega of Shmiya. In Yiddish, throughout generations, there was a different word that people use today in terms of Gemara. They didn't say, I understand the Gemara. They didn't say, ihr versteht. They would say, ihr hört. They didn't say, did you understand, did you hear? Do you hear what the Gemara is saying? And the difference between the two is fundamental. Because someone who's heard is someone who the materials become part of him. Someone understood. It's an idea. Rav Osai, let's take it a bit deeper in terms of El. Rav Soloveitchik had an amazing, fascinating chiddush, fascinating observation in regards to what the shofar represents. He pointed out that general in halacha, when you have an action that's done, when you have what we call in English an object and a subject, there are usually one of two things that happen. Let me give you an example in halacha of an object and a subject. Yes, the term in lamdus is gavra and cheftza, but I want to use the term specifically object and subject. When it comes to reading of the Megillah, there are two parts or two ways to understand reading the Megillah. Either the mitzvah of reading the Megillah is kriya, reading the Megillah, or it's hearing the Megillah. Some say men have the mitzvah of reading, women have the mitzvah of hearing, but each one of them have one of two mitzvahs. The Rav claimed every mitzvah is like this. He said there's one exception. And with this he answered a fascinating question. And I can't get involved, this is 10-minute Musar, but I'll just be merames, refer to it briefly. In Simin Tov Reish Pei Tes, the Ramah writes that a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, cannot even be motzi himself for shofar. Ask the Achronim, but he could be motzi himself for Mikra Megillah. And the Rav answered, the reason that chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin by shofar is unique, he can't even motzi himself, is because there are two things that are happening by shofar. When it comes to shofar, there is the blowing of the shofar, which is the cry of the neshama, someone initiating a sound of the neshama. Why do I say the neshama? Because it comes from the neshima. Kol is the primal inarticulate cry that's supposed to wake us up. And then that has to be done by a bar chiyuv. But the one who hears it, he also is mekayim the mitzvah simultaneously. There's both a subject and an object, unlike all other mitzvahs. Why? Why is that so? I want to share with you something that's profound, that's connected to what Shmiah is all about. When we do averos, what happens is the neshama and the guf have become separated. The guf does averos. That's Rashi's lashon by Lo Sasura Achrei Vavchem Achrei Nechem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a beautiful world that's connected. Connected of upper worlds and lower worlds. Neshama and guf, that's one. When a person does an aveira, the neshama and the guf become separated. The shofar is initiated as a cry where the neshama calls out to us, to our guf, and says we become separated, we want to become one. We want to be joined together. And the avoda of Elul, ani ledodi vedodi li, as we aspire to become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Goldwicht made an amazing, amazing ha'ara. Ni'ila, what's Ni'ila all about? Yud Gimel Midos. What is the screaming of Ni'ila of Yud Gimel Midos? Hashem, Hashem, kel rachem l'chanun. And the answer to that question is that when it comes to the Yud Gimel Midos, we cry out and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've become distant from you because we are supposed to go in your ways. And we join with you by going in your ways, as the Baal HaTanya describes in Igeres HaTshuva Perek Tes. And therefore, when a person does tshuva, when a person connects to the Yud Gimel Midos, what a person is doing is v'halachta bidrachav, he's going in God's ways, and he's becoming one with Kudsha Brichu. And that's the antithesis of sin. Sin is the distance between the guf and the neshama. The Yud Gimel Midos represent our aspiration to become one with Kudsha Brichu through v'halachta bidrachav. And that's how Yom HaKippurim ends, with Ne'ila. That's the ultimate. That's v'davkavo. Chazal say, how could you be davek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could you become one? How can you have ani ledodi v'dodi li? This is a girlfriend? This is a wife? HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean? That's what the Gemara asks. That's what the Medrash Halacha asks. And the answer is that we become one with Kudsha Brichu by being connected to our Makar. And our Makar represents certain midos of rachum, of mercy, of chanun. The shofar is the cry that we need to listen to and we need to hear. So what's the key to tshuva? The key to tshuva is to be able to hear and to be able to listen. You know, they say that there was an elderly fellow who felt that his wife was becoming hard of hearing. So he went to an audiologist and he asked the audiologist to to see what he could do to help. The audiologist said, you'll probably have to bring her into the office. We might have to give her a hearing aid. But you could do something at home. He said, go far away from your wife to another room. She's standing in the kitchen. Go in the living room and say, honey, what's for dinner? And if she doesn't respond, so go a little bit closer, 40 feet. Ask the same question, 30 feet, 20 feet, 10 feet, until she hears. And the guy does it 50 feet away, then 40 feet. She doesn't answer. He's right behind her. And he says, honey, what's for dinner? And the woman turns around and she says, I told you 6 times, Jerry, it's chicken. Sometimes we think the problem is that somebody else is listening, but it's really our listening. And that ability to be able to hear, to be able to hear the cry of the neshama, the ability to be able to hear the cry of ruchnias, is something that we need to open our ears for. And that is the key of being an Oved Hashem, being connected to the Mesorah. Not to learn the Gemara as an implication, as an idea, as a philosophy, but Shema, that it becomes one with us. Mashma, Toshma, the Nazir points out, throughout Gemara is all about Shema, where a person becomes one with those ideas and then he passes it on to the next generation and says Toshma. And a person who has that could hear the sounds of the shofar calling when there is a time, the Chas V'Chalila, there's a period of the Guf and the Neshama. And it's also going to make you a better friend. There's nothing more dear than someone who really listens, who really gets you. And there's nothing more holy than a couple that really, really listens to each other. And the holiest part is a neshama and a guf that are able to hear each other. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata deshmaya that in these 2 weeks that are left of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li to work on this Bechina of Shema. It requires a little bit of self-nullification. We have to be mevatel ourselves a little bit to be able to listen. But sometimes when we mevatel a little bit of the guf, then it could really be connected to Neshama. May it be Zoicha Ta'ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li.